Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost Podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and I do not know what the deal with these Kevin James memes are, and I'm too afraid to ask. And with me, I have...
Mariah Carey is coming. It's like the iceberg. All you can do is just brace for impact.
And...
Oh, now y'all got this billboard. Because apparently, there's some other FIT on the Billboard charts. A Mitski song on there.
Yeah, we were just informed of this.
It's like, okay. It's like, I mean, it's also, first of all, say that they made something interesting on the charts, even though it's number 56. But it's like, what? How did it get there? Is it a trend, or people just like the song? I hope it's the latter. I hope it's the latter of good word of mouth or some shit, but I'm just surprised to hear this, to see this on there. Like, I would say I hope it rises, but then again, I don't know.
Yes. In case you aren't aware by this point, Mitski is very good. And if you're still sleeping on her, don't. Anyway, here we are, episode 325. How's everybody's week been going?
Relatively slow. It's just been an average, normal week for me with nothing much I can really say happened because things are very dull around here. One thing I can say is that I got new headphones because I've been meaning to get this particular pair of headphones. They're Beyerdynamic DT770 Pros. They're 80-ohm headphones. They're a little tougher to drive, but I have the gear to use them. I've been waiting for Guitar Center to get these back in stock for over 2 years. I don't know what happened, but it finally happened. Oh. Yes, because I've become a bit disillusioned with this whole delivery nonsense with something's not arriving when they should because people can't be trusted yet. In some cases, it works. I don't know. Delivery is weird.
Very.
And, I regret to inform all of you, Mariah Carey is doing a Christmas-themed tour in various cities starting in November because we can never escape it.
We truly live in hell world.
Yeah. Every year it happens, and every year everybody tenses up and cringes in anticipation of the collapse and the destruction of all society.
Yeah.
I know I'm being over dramatic, but God, we've really played that fucking song out over the last couple of years. So much so it's become a meme.
It'd be on Billboard every December to January.
Yeah, thanks for ruining your charts, Billboard, with all your stupid additions to your goddamn algorithm metrics.
Fun. It's not fun. Anyway, Mark, what about you?
Well, my week has been pretty lax. I mean, I've got more days off, which got me more in a relaxed mood, which something that I really needed. The fact that work has slowed down a bit, and it doesn't feel grueling every week or so. But yeah, I'm still getting there, and of course I'm doing a lot of writing shit to do because of one thing that happened. As it's recording, it's Monday. Tomorrow is my birthday.
Hey.
Yes, I will be 30. Yeah, 33. Yes, I'll be 30. I'll be 33 now. Well, I guess after I record this, I'll be. Yeah. Just a reminder that I'm the oldest in this podcast, even though I don't act like it. Or maybe I do, I don't know.
Hey, you know, you get used to certain things eventually.
Yeah.
Anyway, as for me, not really much. Met my mom for lunch over the weekend. I like seeing her. I like my mom. And I finished watching a TV show from the backlog. That, of course, being me, 10 years late to finally watching Nathan For You. I have several concerns about that professional Bill Gates impersonator. Several.
Well, now that you've watched that, you can move on to other insightfully weird shows like I Think You Should Leave, which I recommend because it's hilarious and weird.
Soon enough. I'm debating whether or not I move straight on into the rehearsal next. By the way, quick tangent. I don't know if anybody else saw, but we finally got some more, well, we got an official, like, you know, peek at the upcoming Nathan Fielder, Benny Softy, Emma Stone series, The Curse. You know, the one that 106 Point Never is composing? And similarly has multiple layers of dueling reality as to what's real and what's just television shit. Always gotta keep us on our toes, Nathan. But, yeah, very good TV show. Very easy to watch in a weekend or two if you got the time. And you should, because you won't come out the same person on the other end. Especially if Nathan decides to wear your skin. I'm only half kidding. Anyway, so that about does it for the intro formalities. Now time to move on to the new song discussion for the past week. As always, there will be a playlist down in the description so you can follow along with us, pick up some new tunes, mark your calendars for new albums, all that business. And this week we have a selection of songs that overwhelmingly leans in the Mark direction. Well, more so than usual, but you know.
And how big it is. Let's see. Oh, look what time it is. It's Griselda O'Clock.
Good thing I got a warranty on that Griselda clock. That thing's been doing overtime lately.
So yeah, Call Me the Machine. Speaking of overtime lately. Yeah, he put out a lot of stuff this year. Like, I think he had a project out last month with 38 Splash called Special Machinery. It's more name clown shit, which you can get too, because he got a new project coming out, well, this month as well, with producer Conductor Williams, aka Conductor, or Conductor, we have a problem, Conductor, we have, I'm not saying the whole app, but that is going to bring on earth. Anyway, okay, the project's called Conductor Machine. I'm guessing Conway Ductor sounds too wordy or kind of stupid. Okay. Anyways, October 20th, we got a single out with one of Conway's artists, drum work, who's called Love the Genius. And yes, it's pronounced that. Yes, that's the one where, well, you see a 7 and an X. That's supposed to mean love, but yeah. The single we got here is called Flame. And I can say this, but that is indeed flames. This should got some very funky groove, funky groove to it, like stuff like that shit. Like it's basically like you got Love of Genius just spit, Love of Genius for spitting off, and she's a solo rapper here. Like I listened to like a lot of, like, you know, drum work stuff like in the past, like from various things, and love can definitely rap, and you got where, like, you niggas this, and I'm like, where's the fucking challenge on that? You think it's indirect? I ain't never niggas shoot everybody. I ain't aiming the basically that shit, and also Herb and Conway just be spitting bars, and it's all good. Like, you get some good bars in here, and a good thing, and a good beat. Oh, like, very under, like, 2 minutes, I think. Yeah, I think under 2 minutes. Like, it's sort of a short track, but another Conway project, which usually expect West had to do more projects, but fuck it, because he got time.
Yeah, he certainly does. Anyway, moving on to the next track here. And what I'm sure would be the hottest collaboration of the 2010s, Rick yeah. Ross and Meek Mill.
Yeah. Remember those two? And yeah, and do you know how the song starts out? You got somebody saying, "What is this?" Like, okay. And of course, no, really. The song starts out with somebody saying, "What is this?"
Like, and then they, I don't know. Since this is a collab song, when I hear the phrase "What is this?", I'm just like, a crossover episode.
Yeah, which of course they do the whole. Of course, you know Rick Ross, ad libbing. You always find stuff like Maybach music, which oh yeah, I can't forget Meek Mill is also on that label, or I guess I don't know. So okay. Anyway, they say they do a collab album coming out soon. They ain't got a release date yet, and the track we got is called Shaq and Kobe. Get it? Sort of.
Yeah. But,
you know, get it because, you know, two team up. And,
yes, and, basketball, yes.
Yeah. Although I hate to say which is which because... Okay. Anyway, the song overall is just basically... I want to say mostly flexing and shit because basically what I get from people is like you're saying niggas want to see you lose. We making moves. We bringing tools in any rooms. We break the rules. Niggas hate us. Ain't goons. Trying to make a fool. And I'm probably the fourth. Basically just bragging at some shit. But like both in a very luxurious beat. Which, well, Maybach music. Maybach is luxurious car. Get it? Maybach luxurious. All that shit.
That
shit.
Yeah,
of course you got ever so that was like too much money and power. Walk up the spot and pop the stuff and keep talking to chopper. Blah blah blah. Like it feels like well, it definitely like some of. I mean, this was like some out of the 2010s. I think that's when Meek Mill first came up. Like during the era, during like the early 2010s. And Rick Ross, he's just doing his Rick Ross. And, I mean, when it comes to Rick Ross, I like him in features or in small doses. It's like how you say, here's this candy. Don't eat too much of it. And it's like, I ate too much of it. It tastes, yeah, like, it's, I mean... The beat's fine. It's kind of like the usual shit you will hear out of a Rick Ross and Meek Mill track. It's like, I could take or leave it.
It is one of the songs of all time. Anyway, now moving on to the next track here. Looks like we have yet another Peter Gabriel single from his still without a release date album, I.O. According to the Pitchfork piece here, apparently this is the 10th song to come out from this album. Because I swear to God, at this point we've heard like half... How fucking many tracks are on this album? We've heard like half of it at least by this point. But,
I forget, have we heard 10 songs? Or, I don't know.
We've talked about 5 at least, I think. I don't think we've talked about all 10 here.
Wikipedia says there are 12 tracks on here, so...
Oh, God.
Huh.
The whole album at this point. Maybe. Or at least half of it.
Anyway, so, again, we got another single here. This one is called This Is Home, and was conceived in collaboration with Skrillex, apparently. Okay. Which is a very interesting turn, especially since, I mean, it's not exactly the usual Skrillex fare. In fact, weirdly, this song is a bit less ambient than prior singles. Like, you listen to the way, like, the drums are written and performed from, like, a lot of clicky sounds, and, like, the hi-hat, the keyboard that kind of has, like, those droning crystalline synths and this more kind of like smooth jazz thing going on in the chord progressions, especially like as his vocals float and soar above the mix. This is really more like an easy listening stuff with kind of like a slight percussive body to it. Different from the other singles, but I mean, it works for what it is, I guess.
So this isn't really featuring Skrillex on the track as much as it is more of a songwriting collaboration. And for what it's worth, it's a fine downbeat pop club jam of a song, like a modern take on 70s club pop. So take that however you want.
What they said, I ain't got much to add. This is like, okay, this is interesting. I'll forgive that.
Now, moving on to the next track here. Speaking of collaborative hip hop team ups.
So, this is what I was going to call things you might do a spit take, but things you might cause you to do a spit take. So, the team up that never thought would happen, which would be Lil Yachty and J. Cole.
Yes.
Hold up. What's that alarm? What the damn it? Hold up. It's a
beep, 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 beep.
This is my Alchemist alarm.
Yeah.
This is produced by the Alchemist.
Interesting.
What?
A song with Lil Yachty and J. Cole, two very different rappers.
And the beat. Alchemist.
And yeah, with that, this is a very, very strange combination. I'm gotta be really honest. I don't know. I'm gonna turn up and say, like, I'm kind of digging this. Like, I know lately I've been very, very, well, not hating Lil Yachty anymore, or not being as angry as it is, just not as, you know, disgusted by him, or just, I mean, on here, he, I don't know why, like, when he raps, I mean, nobody's saying, and I don't know why. He sounds like he almost sounds like Danny Brown, almost kind of like he has that flow that sort of reminds me of Danny Brown, but more squeaky, they figure out the secret to the best. I was gonna say the E. Never wanted peace. Fuck all the I fought Malcolm X. It's shit like, I don't smoke weed. Already blunt. All my cars have to hunt. Like, when the suburbs, I see you every front. Like, the lyrics he got are not too shabby. But it's like, okay. Is this so far, out of the year where Yachty just said, you know what? I'm not going to be known that rapper anymore that everybody hated. I'm going to improve myself. I'm going to do all it takes. And I think he did it. And as for J. Cole, I mean, I heard what Alchemist speak before. I mean, he was on that Chuckle Being the Butcher, Johnny P's Caddy, like a while, like last year or so. And okay, and he got some. I mean, there's lyrics that he got where he said, you got to try to say a breath on the way it's flowing, the way it's tones from Generation Next. That's just relevance. It's evidence by the way you step. As for me, a commercially ain't got to be a chef. Or, like, niggas say progressive and woke, I start saying less. I have to stop it, peep how they profit out racial stress. Some activists got so rich, they probably wish we stayed oppressed. I mean, there have been some quote-unquote activists that likes to just profit off black oppression. You know who you are, but...
Okay.
Yeah. Because you step and move them extra on songs, they can rep only Breaking Bad in the left. Fucking, I mean, like I was making meth, maybe making things out of left. You were, that says you need a threat. Next time, I'm on the rabbit, just sit there, okay, I guess. I'm your song, your strings gotta go up. Not quite the Drake effect, but don't complain, bitch. Take what you get and cut the label check. Okay. I mean, this is the most I like out of a J. Cole verse. I mean, he makes solid features once in a while, but okay. Just like, huh. And plus, they suddenly got on this beat. Like, this beat is just flames. Like, I'm liking, like, I'm really digging the hell out of this. Like, oh, I'm quite intrigued by this. Like, okay. So I kind of like this song now. So yeah, I kind of like this song.
So yeah, Alchemist, Batten 1000, J. Cole, whatever, it's J. Cole, and Lil Yachty, you get the most improved award. And the best part is, the song is called The Secret Recipe, and you somehow managed to avoid making any bungled SpongeBob references in that context.
Improvement! Hooray!
It's like, yeah, he really has improved this year. Like he did this, you collabed with Jid, you made a psych rock album last a couple of months, well, in the beginning of the year, but you got up, you made me. Again, you made me, you know, not dislike you.
Strange times we're living in.
Yep.
Anyway, now time to get some of my own words in on a track for this next one. So, a while back, we got word that the pop-punk staples Sum 41 were going to be disbanding after the release of one last album and a big final tour. We even have a title for that album, Heaven X Hell, with the X being sandwiched in between colons like some weird Kingdom Hearts shit or something. And now we have the first official single from that album, one that follows a genuinely terrifying incident in which frontman Derek Whibley was evidently hospitalized with pneumonia and potentially at risk of heart failure. Thankfully, per the word of his family, specifically his wife and her mother, who I believe is a registered nurse, he's doing okay now. So, good news to hear. So, yeah, the new single here is called Landmines, and bit of a Rob deep lore for you. I always liked Sum 41. Like, between them and Blink-182, they were kind of like my early pop-punk band of choice. In fact, the first album that I ever bought with my own money was Sum 41's Underclass Hero. I don't know if that's a dignified thing to admit out loud, but when have I ever had dignity? Have you heard the other 324 episodes of this show? So, yeah, I think between Blink-182's comeback and Sum 41's impending farewell, this song I like more between the two. I'll say that compared to kind of some of the harder, you know, Warped Tour leanings of some of their last couple of records, this one feels more quintessential, like, 2000s, 2010s pop-punk jam. The driving tempo to the oh kind of gang vocals, and even the lyrics about, like, the, you know, destructive pattern of a really bad, like, on-again, off-again relationship, hence the imagery of landmines. It's pretty straightforward, but sometimes simple and straightforward does it when that's all you really need.
Well, congrats to these guys for writing the best Data Remember song in 10 years. Well done, lads. Yeah, this is just full-on pop-punk riffage from start to end. It doesn't overstay its welcome. Common courtesy vibes all over the place. Like, it's the structure, the crowd vocals, it's all very reminiscent of City of Ocala to me.
Yeah. A Day to Remember is terrible.
They had one good album. Everybody gets one.
Yeah, so now for the last song on the docket. So, remember a couple weeks ago when we talked about that Timbaland, Nelly Furtado, Justin Timberlake collaboration? Apparently, yeah. That's not the only Justin Timberlake 2000s throwback we're getting this year. And this one, you can blame on the latest installment of the Trolls movies, which they keep making for some reason. Who the hell keeps paying to see these?
Parents with children who don't shut the fuck up. That's who keeps paying to see these movies. Because why bother parenting when you can sit your kid down for 2 hours and have them look at pretty stupid pictures?
Also, at least... because it makes money, because you don't see the other shit. So, like, what more trolls fucking ego?
Like, at least let your kids watch Spider-Verse or something. At least that's a movie that's cool.
A team and team.
That too. But no, apparently we get Trolls, whose soundtrack for this movie has delivered unto us an NSYNC reunion single.
In quotation marks, asterisk. I'll explain later.
So, yeah, for the record, the movie Trolls Band Together is in theaters November 17th, so you have that long to get in the bomb shelters and wait it out. And, yeah, the first, let's say, NSYNC song in however many fucking years, here is called Better Place, and oh my god, it fucking opens with cheesy melodic whistling. I fucking hate it already! Make it stop! Make it stop! And then once all that shit is fucking over, you get into the song itself, and it's yet another in the grand recent lineage of synth pop disco throwback tunes, like so many that we've heard before. But honestly, this ain't even on the standards of like Dua Lipa or anything. It's just as rote and basic as it gets. NSYNC sing things here. I don't know. Can we go back to getting Joey Fatone cameos in Adult Swim shows? That feels like a better use of his time.
Okay. As someone who has meticulously studied the inner workings of what I call the golden era of modern pop, so summer of 98 to the spring of 2001, I can tell you that the key production of what made pop music so infectious in that era was the production. Max Martin, Babyface, Darkchild, Rami Yacoub, Walter Afanasieff, these people were at the peak of their craft in this era in production, sound design, songwriting. It was tuned in perfectly. And Shellback, for all the work he's done in the last decade, working with the likes of Justin Timberlake and Taylor Swift, yada, 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 he produced Can't Stop the Feeling with Max Martin and Timberlake, by the way, so blame him for this.
Yeah. Too.
For all the work he's done in the last decade, he wishes he could even be a fraction as good as those in that department, especially Max Martin at the very, very top. Which is to say, this is definitely a modern movie pop song that feels completely indistinguishable from others of its ilk. This is just Justin Timberlake and friends. And goddammit, Lance Bass deserves better than this.
Yeah. Speaking of friends, I'm looking at this track list of he got all these people. He got all these people in the movie and in the soundtrack. Because I'm looking at him, he got people like Eric Andre on there, the B. Diggs, Kid Cudi, of course, Anderson .Paak, he's on the last movie. Kenan Thompson, okay. And they're doing since they made like a jukebox movie, they're doing songs like Let's Get Married, which has no joke. Justin Timberlake, Anna Kendrick, Zoe Deschanel, Anderson .Paak, Kenan Thompson. I kind of popped one Fonches, and I want to say his name, but I don't want to fuck it up. But yeah, I mean, yeah, it's those guys. Which I mean, I can hear Anderson .Paak sing that song. Ron Fonches would be kind of funny. I mean, I've heard Ron Fonches before; like he was good in Harley Quinn as King Shark. But this was kind of maybe weird, not weird. I mean, I know seeing everyone's like Debbie Diggs and animated movies like this is like, well, it's a crazy. I know Debbie Diggs will just do any type of shit because like he did a Little Mermaid like way back and some other shit. But okay, and Eric Andre, I mean, he did that same movie way back. But it just baffles me.
You know, for as much crap as we give Illumination, at least they managed to put in a little bit of System of a Down in their trailers. This has none of that.
When did you have System of Down in the trailer?
Secret Life of Pets.
Oh yeah, that's right.
The only thing I remember from any other Illumination movies. I'm not looking forward to it. God, please don't tell us we're gonna get a new Justin Timberlake album or anything. Fuck, I don't want to think about it. Anyway, that about does it for the new song discussions. We're gonna take a quick break, and when we come back, we have news to discuss. So stay tuned.
Yeah, for once.
And we're back. So we have a trio of news topics here. The first of which is a follow-up to something that we had touched on a few weeks ago, definitely within the past month or so, that being the still ongoing investigation into the murder of Tupac Shakur. There had been some renewed interest after a arrest warrant went out for one of the individuals involved in, you know, the whole thing, that being Dwayne Kef D. Davis. Warrants and stuff were issued for his arrest, but now they got him. So yeah, he was recently, you know, they actually arrested him for he's officially been indicted in Las Vegas on a murder charge. According to the actual piece here, Dwayne Davis was the shot caller for this group of individuals that committed this crime, said Las Vegas Police Homicide Lieutenant Jason Johansson, and he orchestrated a plan that was carried out. Davis himself has admitted in interviews and in his 2019 memoir, Compton Street Legend, that he provided the gun used in the drive-by shooting.
So he basically sourced just on himself?
Yeah, look, I'm not going to say I approve of the murder of one of music's greatest icons. Obviously, I don't. But, like, are you really so stupid that you're telling yourself like that? Like, there's no way a criminal should do that.
You make reference to one episode of The Boondocks where, you basically talk about how rappers often stuff, how rappers always talk about no snitching, but they just tell themselves. You can solicit, well, Gangsta's aka most of aka Yaffa Bay saying, I did this shit and didn't get arrested.
Worth noting, Nevada state law states basically, if you are an accomplice to murder, you can be charged with murder.
Yep.
Why that the differentiator here? That's. Is going to lead to a very, very, very curious case once this goes forward. Just imagine, on a random morning, you hear from the Associated Press, somebody was arrested in connection to the murder of Tupac, just out of the blue, out of nowhere. Like, crazy times.
Yeah.
So, according to this piece, he was arrested early Friday while on a walk near his home in Vegas. Before, you know, the announcement that a Nevada grand jury had indicted him on one count of murder with a deadly weapon. He's due in court sometime in the next week, and the jury also voted to add a sentencing enhancement to the murder charge for gang activity that could add up to an additional 20 years if convicted. Apparently there's already hundreds of pages of transcripts out and everything. We'll just have to keep an eye and see how all this plays out.
Yeah.
Yeah, and yeah, to add one more thing, if you go on DJ Blab to talk about this shit, don't, because apparently we heard that fool might be the reason why y'all might get arrested.
Anyway, so moving on from that to the next bit here, in a very recurring segment that we like to call Live Nation Fuckery. Asterisk? Okay, hear us out here. So, there's been a whole lot of bullshit that Live Nation's been involved in, with a renewed push against things like, you know, their bullshit pricing system on their site and Ticketmaster. It's especially with a Taylor Swift pushback, to most recently a big push in the past several months against venues taking huge cuts of merchandise sold by artists. Because with the way this entire industry is set up, sometimes merch sales are some of the only ways you can begin to make any kind of money. Except, turns out, guess not! Plot twist! Have I mentioned we live in Hell World? But recently, Live Nation has announced that it's no longer going to be taking cuts of merchandise sold by artists playing any of their club-sized venues. What's more, through the end of the year, the company will offer a $1,500 stipend per show to all headlining and supporting acts. Apparently, it's part of some kind of developing artist outreach initiative titled On the Road Again. I wonder what that's a reference to. So, yeah, supposedly they're not going to eat up any more of the merch sales, which have been known to go from anywhere from like 15 to 30%. But the stipend will cover things like gas, travel, crews, local promoters, tour reps, and they'll also be doled out unspecified bonuses. Let's see. Supposedly the program will be implemented at the next several months at each of its 77 club-sized venues, which include every single location branded as House of Blues and Fillmore. Good luck getting that to deal with the House of Blues at Orlando. The mouse apparently holds a grudge. And I think I remember being at a Fillmore. Yeah, I think the Fillmore was where I saw Run the Jewels like 3 years ago. Three, 4 years ago. I'd have to double check, but yeah, I'm pretty sure that was a venue. So, yeah, another nail in the coffin that is Live Nation's reputation. Or maybe not. Or maybe yes. Okay, so I want to point out this piece that the main piece we were citing is from Consequence. This one is an interesting thing I found on Metal Sucks. Supposedly, despite the seemingly good-sounding deal, there are some people who are still not exactly happy about this, expressing a certain skepticism towards the logic of it all. In particular, there's a statement from the National Independent Venue Association that Metal Sucks has decided to comment on. The way they describe it, again, this is quoting directly by the piece from Mandy Scythe at Metal Sucks, quote, "This immediately calls to mind several issues, including the fact that these venues often are bigger and harder to get booked at, and that this only helps them create a monopoly on stages. NIVA succinctly tells the company to take a long walk off a short pier in their official statement." Oh, hey, that's the thing my stepdad jokingly told me all the time. Anyway, the statement goes like this. "Temporary measures may appear to help artists in the short run, but actually can squeeze out independent venues, which provide the lifeblood of many artists on thin margins. Independent venues and promoters are investing in and elevating up-and-coming artists every day, and NIVA is supporting those efforts nationally. The initiative announced yesterday may seem like a move to follow the lead of some independent venues. It is not that. Instead, it appears to be a calculated attempt to use a publicly traded conglomerate's immeasurable resources to divert artists from independent venues and further consolidate control over the live entertainment sector. Such tactics threaten the vitality of small and medium-sized venues under 3,000 capacity, many of which still struggle to keep their doors open. Independent stages, where the majority of artists, musicians, and comedians start their careers, are small businesses and nonprofits. They are continuously facing rising costs, increased deceptive ticketing prices in the resale market, and ongoing challenges following the global pandemic. Our stages are critical to the live entertainment system and local economies, and they must survive. The economics of touring must drastically improve for artists and independent venues. There has to be a better way. NIVA will continue to support artists and empower independent venues as we collectively find it."
So the TLDR of this is Live Nation is basically doing a pay for play plan for their venues, not independent venues that aren't controlled by them or AEG or whoever else. That's kind of fucky.
Yeah, man, we're really still. Correct me if I'm wrong. Isn't the proper term for this technically payola?
I think that's what it is. I didn't study business. I should have, but I didn't. I studied music instead. Wasn't that stupid of me?
Yeah, so this just seems like the type of thing that if you're only looking at the surface, oh, hey, cool, but, like, is obviously very manipulative to kind of keep everything in-house. Sort of like how, sort of like the monopolization of, like, say, internet service providers and cable companies, where you can only get so-and-so service in this region of the U.S. And if you want any competition, then fuck you. Not fun.
No. No, it's not.
Yeah, especially now I'm just reminding myself of, like, at least a few of the local venues that had to shut down back in my old stomping grounds during the pandemic. Like Las Rosas, and I still don't know what the fuck is going on with Churchill's. But point is, stuff like this basically is just a cheap gimmick to consolidate everything into Live Nation's hands, and we need less of that. Fuck, at least Taco Bell's program gave you fucking cheesy gorditas.
Yeah, I think I can explain this in a more specific manner. So here where I live in Charlotte, we have two venues that are sort of a similar size. One is called The Underground, which is part of a larger music complex, which is controlled by Live Nation. One is called Amos' South End, which is an independently run venue. You can kind of see where the pros and cons fall with both platforms. On one hand, you might get incentives. On the other hand, you get independent ventures.
Yeah. So, I guess we'll see how this stuff plays out in, you know, the near future or so. I mean, I'm still wondering what the hell is going on with, because I very distinctly remember a lot of government action against Live Nation for their ticket pricing systems.
That's still ongoing, by the way.
Ah, I was wondering what the update was on that.
Yeah, and one of the things that they're trying to do to make themselves look good is limit access to Olivia Rodrigo tickets up to 72 hours to the first scalpers. As if that's going to the first scalpers. It will not.
Yeah, if there's anything I've learned from pretty much ever since the Wii came out, scalpers are bastards and will always find a way.
Yeah.
But sadly, the tales of the bullshit associated with the corporate monopolization do not end here. No, no, no. We have one more story to discuss here, and it concerns what honestly is still one of the most confusing corporate acquisitions I can think of in recent memory. That being about 18 months ago when Epic Games, for some reason, decided to acquire the music distribution platform Bandcamp.
Yeah, still never got there. Like,
yeah, on Bandcamp.
Yeah, the people who make Fortnite acquiring the platform where you can download the music of Backwash. Honestly, the only thing that makes less sense to me is Shonen Bros hyping up Kagurabachi as the next big thing.
What the fuck? Now look, what those people who are doing it unironically are stupid. The rest of us are just making it the new Morbius meme, which is fun.
Hashtag Summer of Kagurabachi, baby!
Kagurabachi sweep, everybody. Let's go.
Fuck is that?
Oh, we'll explain this to you afterwards.
Okay.
So, back to the Epic Games fiasco. And we say fiasco because they are in the middle of a whole lot of layoffs.
I will preface this with three words. Fuck Tim Sweeney.
Yeah, fuck Tim Sweeney. And you're not even like in a fun way either.
This guy's making me side with the management of Apple. I'm a customer of theirs. Doesn't mean I like their practices, but I'm defending Apple against them. Fuck you, Sweeney, you cocksucker.
So, yeah, right now, the company is in the middle of laying off about 16% of its workforce, which apparently includes a website called Super Awesome, and, yeah, pretty much selling off and divesting Bandcamp. Specifically, they're selling them off to a music marketing company called SongTrader, spelled with the last E missing. According to a blog post on the acquisition, they're supposedly it will, quote, continue to operate Bandcamp as a marketplace and music community with an artist-first revenue share. So, yeah, they describe themselves as a music licensing platform and marketplace company, who supposedly framed this as an opportunity for Bandcamp artists to secure licensing deals, including Epic Games itself, which supposedly is going to collaborate with Bandcamp on projects like Fortnite Radio. Huh? That is the worst two-word combination I've read all week. I do not know what that is, but I already don't like it.
That doesn't sound good. This ain't like Grand Theft Auto Radio, where at least you get some cool shit, but Fortnite Radio?
Yeah, you can listen to, like, Flying Lotus, and Ozzy Osbourne, and Yes, and Jane's Addiction, back when they were sort of cool. Fortnite Radio, what, is it fucking Marshmello and Weezer? Now, here's a... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Or, no, you go ahead.
Yeah, sorry about that. So, I want to point out something here that is the, you have to give this even more of a side eye. Quote, asked whether artist revenue shares, user experience, or the editorial platform Bandcamp Daily will be affected by the acquisition, SongTrader declined to comment. Yeah, that's definitely not concerning in the slightest. Especially because I do follow a decent amount of the writing staff from Bandcamp Daily, and they're cool people, and I believe they're also in the middle of some major unionization efforts. Lord knows how this is going to affect that. And in addition to that, a representative for Epic Games also declined to comment on the sale, pointing to the company's public announcements. So, oh, speaking of the union, yeah, we actually got a brief statement from Bandcamp United, that being the union name, about the sale, saying, quote, we're still preparing for our scheduled negotiations on the 2nd and the 3rd of October, so pretty much like as we're recording and editing this, with Epic Games, and have submitted a formal request to management for more information about the sale. Bandcamp United is looking forward to bargaining with SongTrader in the near future regarding wages, working conditions, and benefits. It's our hope that SongTrader honors our existing progress, including union security, and preserving our artist-first mission in our collective bargaining agreement that we've already made at the bargaining table. Stay tuned. Which is, I have to admit, very shockingly polite statement for a union. I would have gone off a bit more, but I guess unions have to maintain some professionalism sometimes.
Yeah.
because there's any other way the word fucking y'all and any other word that I said on here that probably wouldn't be as professional if I said it like that on there.
Mm-hmm. And one more quote here. Steve Allison, vice president and general manager of the Epic Games Store, said the sale to SongTrader would, quote, make it easier for independent artists to connect with creators and developers looking to license their music and enable Epic to focus on its core metaverse games. And you already lost me at the word metaverse.
Oh, God. Just.
Why the fuck? haven't you people understood that the metaverse is over? It's done. It's dead. AI is the current bullshit tech grift. Get with the... Actually, no, don't get with the times. Do not do what you're thinking of doing.
Just go away, Tim Sweeney. Nobody likes you. Nobody!
I do not like what is happening with these sites. With these companies. I don't like it. Yeah. I don't like it.
We are already in a bad time. Or in the worst timeline.
Yeah. So when do we start wearing the fake goatees? Anyway. Okay. So yeah, we just have to keep an eye on where all that is, and that's pretty much about it for... Yeah, it's pretty much about it for the new news topics. Damn it if I can talk.
We're a little out of practice here.
Now we have one last thing to touch on here, and that is, of course, new album releases for the week of October 6th, 2023. Starting right at the top here, we have apparently a new project by Of Mice and Men with Tether. There is a brand new Carnifex album, Necromantium, from Darius Rucker. We have a new album, Carolyn's Boy.
Sorry. You're always Hootie, Darius. Don't forget.
I'm Hootie. from a name I have not thought about since the 2000s, Reba McEntire, with a new project called Not That Fancy. Speaking of names I haven't thought about in forever, there's a new Rick Astley album coming out called Are We There Yet? Yeah. Anyway, from Dogstar, the band with Keanu Reeves on bass, we have Somewhere Between the Power Lines and Palm Trees, their big reunion album. And last, and possibly also least, we had it delayed out from September, but now we're going to have to contend with a new Drake album for all the dogs. Although, this does not need to be a tale of tragedy, because if there's a new Drake album, do you all know what that means? Anthony Fantano and Los Pollos TV round 4, baby! Hum the fucking melodies!
This man, the only thing to expect of a trivia of the album would it be the Fantano Los Pollos reunion? It fits the Billboard again. Meeting Mark from Festival Weather do another album bomb review of Bill Breakdown. And also Danny Hip Hop doing an album review, which their great album reviews are really funny. Especially the one on Views. This was really funny.
Look, the album is probably gonna suck, but we're gonna get some great online content out of this.
Yeah. Right now, I put your mic seat down, saying, "Drake, you listen to me. Do an R&B album, damn it!" Like, for real. Go to Denny Hip Hop. Listen to me. Search Denny Hip Hop Drake. Go to some views. You're gonna find hilarious.
Just saying. You're here. Now, with that out of the way, time to clean house and get the hell out of here. So, Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
On various platforms of various areas, the Aura of Azure, where I just post links to my other things that I do. That's all I'm good for nowadays. It's all I have left.
Mark, what about you?
I use Islam and all you know, social platforms and my media, including Blue Sky. Yes, I'm on there now. I have a place in case the other site falls to oblivion, which might happen any second now. And also on my site, mynhyperone.com, where of course it's the anime season meeting. I review a lot of shit and the only thing I've seen is a shot superhero or one made about a guy who's dressed as a naked bird man.
Yeah. And as for me, you can find me on the usual social media places. Yes, also Blue Sky at Rob Barracuda. You can email me robert@surrealresolution.com for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and Google Podcasts. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Be sure to follow us on Twitter @surrealreso. Like us on Facebook. Visit the website surrealresolution.com for written articles, this podcast, podcast O&A, all of that jazz. And be sure to jump into our Discord so you can be immediately notified whenever anything new goes up on the site. That'll about do it for this week. We'll, of course, be back next week with more of the usual business. And hopefully we won't have to delay, you know, doing a roundup for September. Hopefully next week, yeah. We'll see. And until next time, honey, wake up! Dan Olson just dropped another video essay about finance and tech fraud. Get the popcorn!